Okay, make sure you're in fellowship here as we are looking at the importance of doctrine with respect to the local church. Set point G, our final point here, Roman numeral 7, page 7 of our notes. So we note that faithful communication is the basis for the pastor's SG3. Obviously, that's where a lot of the SG3 comes from. It's not the only areas of application, but a primary one, Acts 20, 32. Now I commend you to God, here addressing the pastors at Ephesus, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, set apart, all believers, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul recognizing the end of his niche, coming to close here, and what he will expect. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is reserved for me the wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then 1 Peter 5, 1, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I, Peter, exhort the elders, the pastors among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading wreath of glory. So Roman numeral 8, various scriptural analogies to Bible doctrine illustrate its supreme importance. Just as important as food is physically to our sustenance, so spiritual food, so physical food is likened that way. Subpoint 8, in Luke 4:4. Where Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Looking at as important as food is to us, so is Bible doctrine in regards to our spiritual health and well-being and life. B, water, an essential necessity for an essential thing necessary for us to sustain life, Ephesians 5:26. In regards to the church, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, as all believers, the church universal, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So the water, the cleansing action of Bible doctrine is in view. C, light. Light is an ingredient necessary, too, for good health. Psalm 119. A psalm that deals in great detail with the importance of doctrine, as we have seen earlier. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Doctrine reveals to us things in life so that we can avoid stumbling, falling, injuring ourselves, things of that nature. Verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. D, precious metals and gems. Psalm 19, 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Compare Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Where gold, silver, precious stones is likened to doctrine that translates to SG3. And building your foundation. If you build upon the foundation, that's the salvation, the true gospel, with gold, silver, precious stones, in contrast to human viewpoint or things worthless, wood, hay, and straw. And that's the two elements in the likeness that is judged by fire at the Bema, to see that which is divine good versus human good. All right, Roman numeral 9. It must be recognized that there are systems of doctrine that are false and that are therefore antagonistic to the unity of the faith. False doctrine is sponsored by Satan as the angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:4, 14. Paul having addressed the Judaizers, the false teachers of his time. Verse 12, but what I am doing I will continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are, in a manner about which they are boasting, those who seek to set themselves up on a spiritual plane, level with Paul, positive volition, if you will. Verse 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself into an angel of light. As we saw in regards to the wilderness temptations of Christ, how Satan tried to use doctrine, the scriptures, against Christ in that respect. So, this perception that people have of Satan as being this grotesque creature with the horns and the tail and all that other stuff, obviously that's erroneous. He was one of the most beautiful angels, the most beautiful angel created by God. And obviously his overt appearance would be appealing to any that saw him. And the other aspect is that when he fell, he had in his own brain computer doctrine, and he knows the scriptures and he knows how to use it, and he will twist it and distort it in any form or fashion possible. He gets his jollies by watching people take doctrine and skewer it through the influence of the sin nature of human viewpoint. So he is called the angel of light. He is the ultimate, if you will, author of all false doctrine. There is one correct form of doctrine. Obviously, there are many incorrect forms. Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that you, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the soul, literally, to that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were committed. B, these distortions are called darkness, evil, and apostasy, and are descriptive of that which is called human viewpoint. There are two bins of viewpoint that one can draw from in regards to their own thinking, that which we refer to as divine viewpoint, the scripture, the way God thinks, the mind of Christ, etc., and then human viewpoint, which is anything that is contradiction to the divine viewpoint, or obscures it, or discolors it in this respect. And unfortunately, most people operate under a human viewpoint consistently throughout their lives. And all human viewpoint is evil. It has the sponsorship of Satan behind it. And it's a lie. See, it's a lie. That's first and foremost. It's not what God's plan is for you. In this vein, they are classified as doctrines of demons. Looking at the assistance of Satan's army of demons in helping perpetrate the doctrine within the human race. Obviously, a lot of ways it would be done is through possession and human viewpoint being espoused in that regard, or simply through influence. 1 Timothy 4:1, there, as it's referred to in the last days, as paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Obviously, demons are deceitful spirits, but they appeal, their viewpoint appeals to the negative soul that wants to reject doctrine, and hence provides human viewpoint as an alternative to doctrine. So all these things, all the misrepresentations of God's plan out there in the world falls under the category of doctrine of demons. I don't care what a name they may place over their philosophy or their organization or church or whatever they represent. D, they are SCA, old sin nature, distortions of the truth. That's where they come from. The energy of the flesh, the human viewpoint. Another passage that deals with that is James. Saw one earlier. Verses 14 and 16. Verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, those are STA activities. Do not boast and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. It's human viewpoint from the sin nature, STA, and obviously in the realm of doctrine and demons, spiritually dark. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. The men that at one time embrace sound doctrine and then have repudiated the truth often propagate them. For many, again, it's not enough to reject doctrine and just walk off from it. But they got to turn around and then take issue with sound doctrine. And 1 Timothy 4:1 there is dealing with those who fall away from the faith. So obviously the implication is at one time they did have the truth, see, to whatever degree. F, the purpose of these, quote, winds of doctrine, end quote, the breeze of human viewpoint, is to blow believers off course, causing spiritual shipwreck. Recognizing we're in an angelic conflict, we are in a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Falling on the heels of the responsibilities of communicative gifts as they were provided for the church, to include the pastor teacher, to provide the spiritual advance, the spiritual food necessary for people to grow up spiritually, to become mature, to make the maturity adjustment, and all that is for the purpose of defending positive volition against all that Satan throws at the world otherwise, and to be stable believers in their thinking, applications, as verse 14, sound doctrine. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, like an immature believer might be caught off guard. Over time, you should be gathering this information and filtering it through God the Holy Spirit and applying it in your life, and you become stable in your faith in regards to application, etc., rather than being vacillating in regards to your approach to life. And tossed here and there by waves. The waves is the doctrine, the false doctrine, and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And the trickery of men, a gambling metaphor here, is what's in view by craftiness with regards to the scheming of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So sound doctrine is that which protects us from the human viewpoint evil of Satan's world otherwise, a negative volition. And then also again, 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 and 20. Which flat out states, Paul states, this command, this charge, I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecy previously made concerning you as a pastor, that by then you may fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck, a spiritual shipwreck, in regard to their faith. So what takes you down the pike, obviously, in addition to your own STA salivating and trying to convince you to satisfy it, is adopting human viewpoint. If you maintain a divine viewpoint, you can conquer the STA. You may get the best of it. You'll get back on your feet and you're still thinking straight. You get under a human viewpoint, it's like a blow to the head, and then you're dizzy and you don't have a good balance. See. Otherwise, you can handle the blows, the cosmos at you in this regard, and continue to engage in battle. We live in the end times when most people will not endure sound doctrine. We saw that 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Operation Q-tip. One, the straight and narrow sound doctrine begins to bore certain believers. Often because of this repetitive nature. Week in, week out, Bible class, verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine, etc. And certain believers become lukewarm in their soul. And it starts to become boring. They're there to be entertained or stimulated otherwise. And so they seek, point one here, that which entertains, stirs the emotions, and is pleasant to the ears, to cater, stroke their STA, to stroke their human viewpoint, sacred cows, to emotionally make them feel good, the raw, raw, raw church camp types, see, and other aspects. Want to hear how God's going to bless them, how if they have faith and give X amount of dollars to the church, they'll become rich. They can have good health and all this other stuff. You know, anything that titillates their little human viewpoint fancies. And to put it in within some type of religious environment. That's religiosity. See. A lot of people are entertained through ritual and things of this nature. That's why you have churches that do that kind of stuff. But the fundies, they're the emotional types. They got to stroke the emotions. Rah, rah, rah. But then after that, then what? They didn't give anything really to digest and to build up their strength to go out in the angelic conflict and truly perform accordingly and to be sustained and maintain themselves spiritually. Two, they repudiate these types who don't endure doctrine. They repudiate their right pastor-teacher. Often they'll take issue with right pastor, right congregation. See? If it's sound doctrine being taught there, then I can move anywhere I want. See? That kind of attitude. You see that, the revolving door type of attitudes of people. And all they're doing is repudiating God's geographical and pastoral will for them otherwise. They repudiate the right pastor-teacher, take issue with him, and right local church, and opt for a plurality of teachers via travel, books, tapes, television, videos, etc. You may just start off listening to one other person. This person's fine. I like what he has to say. Listen to this. You know. It doesn't mean that you can't look at TV and listen to these people, but you don't look to them for your spiritual guidance. Actually, if you're watching them, it ought to be a test in regards to your own doctrinal astuteness in regards to discernment and what they're saying. And to be able to take captive every thought for Christ of all the erroneous BS that they throw out at people. See? And then it becomes like better than any of the game shows almost. Human viewpoint. Somebody ought to make a game, a doctrinal game, a human viewpoint, divine viewpoint game. And knowing the rest of us, we'll start gambling and turn it into making money. 3, these teachers are not sound in the faith, those who teach false doctrine, but are chosen based on their STA trends of those defecting from sound doctrine. Doesn't mean they're not believers, many of these. Some are unbelievers. But they basically cater to the STA of others. They cater to their own STA. They don't want to offend the big givers. That's an area. Amazing what a big giver can get away with. See, and the pastor won't come down on them. But someone that the church has to help with living grace, they'll jump on them immediately. And you see that kind of stuff. Go on in churches. That's wrong. Wrong, mister. I like that guy. He's funny. Anyway, some of this stuff. 4, the inevitable result is that these believers are adversely influenced by the ear ticklers and no longer desire to listen to a sound ministry. 5, they opt for clever illustrations and stories called myths in the New American Standard, which have no value in living the Christian way of life or making the maturity adjustments to the justice of God. You'll see this in like a lot of prep school material you get from the funny churches. They add all this stuff in there that's not in the scripture just to make it more entertaining for the children. You want to entertain your child? Take them to the movies. You want to learn Bible doctrine? Bring in the Bible class. See? Well, you got to entertain them, keep their attention. No, you don't. You apply discipline in regards to your classroom. See? Getting too loud, you tell them to shut up. If you're a teacher, you have my permission. If the parent don't like it, well, then you can talk to the parent about it. There's probably some people sitting there thinking the same thing about me. Shut up. Anyway, this is often caused by mental laziness, the failure to discipline oneself to the concentration that is required to assimilate sound doctrine, because it is work. I sit down to study, it's going to be work. When I get up to teach, it's going to be work. When you come to Bible class, it's going to be work. Because you've got to apply a little effort to stay awake and concentrate and stay in fellowship for an hour. Well, that wore me out. I was in fellowship for a whole hour. Hey, that's the way I feel sometimes. Man, that was testing. That taxed me big time. All right, Roman numeral 10, pursuit of Bible doctrine by the positive believer results in great blessings, both phase 2, phase 3, including some of the aspects that are attached to having doctrine, sound doctrine. The divine viewpoint of life in and of itself, to be able to think the way God thinks. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In our spiritual realities, we do not allow our SCA to dictate what we are to think, say, and do. See? Even though it may get the best of us on occasion. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The lofty fortresses of human viewpoint, philosophy, ideals, education, governments, all these things. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. To get out and the communicator to teach sound doctrine. That's what they are doing. They're having target practice on human viewpoint. That's what Bible class is for the communicator. Target practice on human viewpoint. See? And you take the doctrine and you zero in and you blast it away. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What Christ wants us to think. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. So having a divine viewpoint of life, not be sucked in to the vortex of all the human viewpoint evil that's out there. Not having to constantly run under fear in regards to the economy, the state of the union, the state of the world, all these things. We got doctrine. We can look at it up. That's a sign of the times. It's not going to last forever. And go in, and they can take all their rights, all your rights away from you, even if they want to. But they can't take the doctrine from your soul. Understand that. See? B, it helps us identify what sin nature activity is. The SCA activity, Romans 7:7. What's human good? What's divine good? And what's being produced through the SCA? What shall we say then? Romans 7:7. Is the law of sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. The Mosaic Law identifies what sin activity is. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you will not covet or lust. So see, it provides isolation of and victory over the sin nature. Ultimate victory. Psalm 51, 5 and 6. David recognized his sin nature. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. That's under the sin nature, in a sphere of sin. See, that's his flesh, that's his body. It doesn't mean that his mother had him out of wedlock. And in sin, under the flesh, with the SCA, my mother conceived me as the father's DNA with the sin nature gene attached to it, combined with hers. So David recognized his own SCA. In verse 6, behold, you do desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. In spite of the SCA, we have the human spirit, the soul, the innermost being, so that we can recognize the divine viewpoint in spite of the SCA. Psalm 119:11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you, to help you try to avoid SCA activity. Now it's wrong to do that, see. In Romans 6:12-18. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Don't let the SCA rule your life. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. He's saying all you got to do is rebound and quit sinning at that point in time. Apply doctrine instead. And truly the grace is there because all of us will have rebounded how many, hundred thousands, if not millions of times in a life probably. You may think that's a large number, but if you really sit back and add it up, all the times we rebound over 25, 30 years, if you've been in it that long, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count it. I can guarantee you that for some of you. Now, I might be... No, I'm just kidding. For me, I'll speak on my own behalf. For sin should not be master over you, verse 14, for you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are under law? And you don't abuse the grace principle either. But under grace, may it never be. That is not the purpose for the grace. And so that you can rise above it. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one who you obey, either as sin resulting in death, as temporal death, or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the soul to the form of teaching or doctrine to which you were committed and have been freed from sin. You became slaves of righteousness. So doctrine over time gets you out of that slave pit of absolute rulership of the sin nature in your life. A continuous rulership. D, it gives us discernment. Discretion in regards to life. Proverbs 2, 5, 9. A lot of people don't have discernment. Don't have tact. Don't know how to deal with people. You know, don't know how to deal with things. The weak female, flaky female, getting taken in by the good-looking dude. Things of that nature. No discernment, see. And then the opposite, too. Proverbs 2, 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God if you seek wisdom, Bible doctrine. Verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. You'll have a discernment in what these things are. The directions to take in life, the decisions to make, especially life-changing decisions. Legitimate prosperity. You can let the world prosper you or let God prosper you. And unfortunately, last days, most believers are saying God's prospering and it's actually the world. Proverbs 3, 16 through 18. Long life, indication of God blessing your life. Prosperity is in her right hand through wisdom, through doctrine. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. True happiness, inner happiness, happiness that can't be destroyed by the physical circumstances, situations around you. Mark 10, 29 through 31. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake. That's the caveat. For the sake of Bible doctrine, you have to give up something. A relationship, a business, friends, certain geography or environments because of doctrine. And for the gospel's sake, see, it's all on behalf of Jesus Christ, but it's according to doctrine. But that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. And it has both temporal and eternal ramifications of blessing. But obviously, your status has changed in regards to the world as you are now, as you become the target of persecution and negative volition. That many who are first will be last and last first. To be humble and wait upon God. So, that's blessing in time as well as eternity. God replaces these things. It gives you confidence. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, Bible doctrine, which has a great reward. Bible doctrine is synonymous to confidence, our hope, firm hope, steadfast hope, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice or timidity, but of power and love and discipline. And you have power, you have strength, you have confidence. See, and doctrine is all those things. Proverbs 3:24-26. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Keep you from being snared or entangled by the negative volition around you and their scheming and tactics. G, inner happiness. Also Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. We read verses 16. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, verse 13. And the man who gains understanding. For his profit is better than the profit of gold, and is gained in fine gold. A profit is silver, and is gained in fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Happier are all who hold her fast. Verse 18b. 1 John 1:4, New Testament. And these things we write, the doctrine in the epistle letter to these saints, so that our joy may be made complete. The happiness is tied directly into the doctrine that they hold to and as communicators teach. Inner happiness, inner peace, is usually hand-in-hand with happiness. Psalm 119:165. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Proverbs, again, 3, verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you in regards to adherence to the teaching of doctrine. Verse 17, we saw that. All our paths are peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Keep your prayer life healthy. Keep doctrine before you. Keep tuned in to God and Bible doctrine appropriately, and these things are added to you. It gives us divine guidance, what God's will is for our life. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or evidence, discern what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. J, deliverance in time, phase two deliverance. 1 Timothy 4:16. The exhortation to Timothy in regards to maintaining his own focus on doctrine in his office, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persist in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure deliverance both for yourself and for those who hear you. That's phase two deliverance. Compare Philippians 2:12-13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, not only when Paul was there physically, but in his absence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation, your deliverance, with fear and trembling. That's your maturity adjustment, your phase two. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Doctrine is what provides true fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. True fellowship. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. L, it gives you a true capacity for life. Instead of being miserable, maladjusted, you have a capacity to live. Job 1:22. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God in regards to all the testings that occurred in his life. And he still had capacity in regards to life, obviously. He was acclimated, see. He was acclimated to doctrine, acclimated to God's will. 2 verses 9 and 10. But then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He bridled the tongue in spite of the severe testing that he faced. And it obviously carries with it eternal reward as the gold, silver, precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw that we saw in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 14, as these things will be judged at the Bema, and that which is left will be rewarded. Colossians 1, look at that one, 3 through 5. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, that's SG3, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. And the principle is God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. And conclusion, Roman numeral 11. The rapture generation is commanded to intensify its intake of Bible doctrine and not forsaking the assembly of themselves together, even more so, as we see the day approaching. Even more so, Bible doctrine is more important for us so that we're not sucked in again to all the human viewpoint attacks that are now coming down the pike, even in our own society, in ways that this country has not ever seen in the past. And so you're not caught off guard, recognizing the importance of God and the grace providing local churches that provide sound doctrine in the midst of even the most evil times, not unlike Noah and his family in that respect and what they faced. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things and pursue these things. In Jesus' name, amen.